Dr. Jenny Goodman's had 20-plus years' experience as a medical doctor, lecturer, and qualified nutritionist. Staying Alive in Toxic Times sets out what we should be eating in order to live our healthiest lives and how to adapt our lifestyle according to the season we are in. And Jenny joins us now. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you. I guess my obvious first question is then, what's gone wrong with our system that we need to worry about this stuff? Shouldn't we just be eating good food?
Well, you're absolutely right to ask that. And indeed, we should. And before the Industrial Revolution, that's exactly what we would have been doing, eating what grew locally at the time of year when it grew. And our food was all fresh and organic, so no pesticides, no hormones or antibiotics put into the animals. And indeed, we didn't need to worry about it. But what's happening now is our food is coming from very far away. It's often been processed and packaged. And even more importantly, the soil has now been depleted of its natural nutrients, especially its minerals, by about 50, 60, 70 years of intensive farming. So what I mean by that is that in the old days, farmers would let the field lie fallow some of the time. And when they harvested the crop, they would dig the stubble back in and they wouldn't overtax the land. They'd allow it to rest. It needs to rest just like we need to rest. And therefore, the soil would contain all the good minerals and nutrients that would then go into the plants and we would eat the plants and we didn't need any kind of supplement because the plants and indeed the animals that ate the plants contained all the nutrition we needed.
Now that's a really interesting point. I was going to bring it up. I'm glad you started with it because one of our listeners said that there was a whole documentary on this on the BBC the other day and they were talking about exactly that and also about the fact that there was a lot of slurry, a lot of sewage being dumped everywhere, which is further reducing it.
Well, this is another problem. And of course, with the use of what I call biocides, that includes pesticides, herbicides or weed killers, insecticides and fungicides, all that destroys the good as well as the bad and the ugly. So, for example, in the soil, there are microscopic fungi. They've got a name nobody knows how to pronounce. Mycorrhizae. I know how to spell it, but nobody ever said it out loud. Now, those little tiny fungi have a job, which is to fix the minerals from the earth into the roots of the plants. Now, if they've all been killed by the application of these biocides, fungicides, and so on, they're not there. So even such nutrition as does remain in the soil after intensive farming can't find its way into the crops that we then eat. And this is one of the reasons why the healthy, balanced diet has become a bit of a myth. I mean, it's a holy grail, but it's very hard to get it unless you live on an organic farm. And sadly, in Britain, that's due to become a little bit worse as we leave the EU.
Oh, dear.
Because the EU's rules say you can't inject hormones into farm animals.
Right.
Now, at the moment, the UK imports 30% of its meat from countries which do allow hormones, but that percentage is about to rise, sadly. So you're better off where you are there in Spain from that point of view. And also from the point of view of vitamin that I talk about a lot in the book, which is vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin.
Yes.
Now, you guys over there are much better off than we are back in Blighty because at the moment the sun is shining, but a lot of the time it's grey. And we can't make enough vitamin D from the British sunshine. You can just about, if you're a gardener and you're outdoors all the time with your sleeves rolled up and wearing shorts, there's just about enough sunshine hitting enough surface of your skin to turn cholesterol into vitamin D.
Yes.
Because that's what the sun does, turns cholesterol into vitamin D.
And how do we get on in the past then with our vitamin D? Where did the vitamin D come from, you know, for our ancestors?
By eating fish.
Ah.
Because fish is a really good source of vitamin D. Now, that's what the northern peoples do, the Inuit, who we used to call the Eskimos. They eat loads and loads of fish and seal blubber and whale blubber because half the year they get no sun at all.
Yeah.
And that's precisely how people in the northern climates get their vitamin D.
How interesting. Now, of course, the $64,000 question is, how would we even know unless we went for regular tests? I must confess, I'm quite good with my blood tests, and I do go for them every year. And it's interesting to see what's you know, you're depleted in or have an excess of. But most people wouldn't know, would they?
No, and that's really the point of the book. It's to empower people to, without having loads of blood tests, to take this into their own hands. And if you eat loads of fruit and vegetables, and it's organically grown, and you eat what's in season, then the chances are that most of the time you will be absolutely fine. And there's a whole discussion in the book also about whether we should be vegan or whether we should eat meat, and the answer is yes, it depends where you live, the time of year, and your particular body. So, I mean, we all need vegetables. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Some of us need some animal food some of the time.
Yeah.
Occasional eggs if we're vegetarian, ideally some fish. Some people get very low on B12 if they never eat any red meat at all. Yeah. Others can be fine. And what the book describes is a very simple method I call suck it and see, which is a way of experimenting with different types of diet and at different times of the year to see what works for your health. But I do have a warning there, which is that that kind of experimenting is only going to work if you've obeyed what I call the four golden rules.
Okay.
And they are the very few basic rules about eating that do apply to everybody. And they are, number one, eat your greens.
Yes.
Your granny was completely right
She's
about that.
Spot on, yep.
Because not only are the greens absolutely full of the minerals and the vitamins that we need, they also act like a broom or a gentle brush, just swishing through the gut and taking away all the gunk. Nothing gets stuck, and I do say in the book, sorry to be graphic.
No, that's interesting, yeah.
If your bowels are moving properly, you can think clearly and you've got lots of energy. So that's number one, eat your greens. Number two is cut out sugar.
Yeah.
Now, I am not going with the fashion for cutting out carbs. I think it's extremely bad news, especially for young people. But I am in favour of cutting out sugar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we were hunter-gatherers and our bodies have hardly changed, actually, our biological needs have hardly changed from when we were cave people half a million years ago, we hardly ever had any sugar. We'd occasionally get some fruit in the autumn, and of course the sugar in that fruit would be used to lay down fat to get us through the coming winter. But other than that, we didn't have sugar. Mm. And now, you know, one chocolate bar at the supermarket checkout probably contains as much sugar as our ancestors got in a whole year.
Goodness.
And so it's not that sugar itself is unnatural or poisonous. It's all about the quantity and the amount.
Yeah.
But evolution has primed us to crave it because in the Stone Age situation where, you know, we had to run 20 miles to catch our favourite dinner and there were often shortages, it was a survival mechanism to crave sugar. Like, nature wanted us to gravitate to the berries and the fruit trees. And that's fine. They were only there in season. And, of course, fruit in sugar has got the fiber and the water and all the vitamins with it as well. With fruit extracted, you know, in an ice cream or a so-called protein bar, which is mostly sugars, has not. So that's the second thing.
And just while you're on the sugar thing, sorry to interrupt you there, it was a revelation to me that just drinking pints and pints of fresh orange juice is a really bad idea.
Yes, that's right. And I would say only ever drink as much juice as you can comfortably squeeze from the orange in your fruit bowl without hurting your wrist.
And
but it's better, of course, to simply eat the fruit.
Yeah.
Because, I think you would have read that I said in the book, you know, if you drink a big glass of apple juice, that's the juice of 9 apples.
Mm.
Now, your body would never let you eat 9 apples in half a minute.
Right.
You just couldn't do it. You eat one apple, you've got a small amount of sugar, but you've got the fiber and the water, and the fiber slows down the rate at which the sugar goes into your bloodstream. So you don't get that dangerous sugar hit that stresses the pancreas and eventually leads to diabetes.
Yeah. Okay, number three.
Number three is cut out artificial additives because they're not actually food at all.
No.
And if you take a magnifying glass and look at the ingredients list on any supermarket food that comes in a package or a tin, you will be horrified. You've got artificial colours in there, just like the artificial colours you would use if you were tie-dyeing a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go sucking the dye, would you?
Absolutely.
And we know that people who work in the printing and dyeing industry have an increased rate of bladder cancer and other problems.
Wow.
But our kids are eating these blue ice lollies.
Oh.
So natural colouring is not natural. The whole use of the word natural is a bit of a con there.
Mm.
I mean, arsenic's natural, petrol's natural.
Yeah.
But flavouring, and one of the questions I'm asking is, well, if this food is all right, why does it need flavouring in it? Why yep. should it need artificial flavouring, if not to disguise the fact that it's rubbish?
Sure.
You know, there's artificial sweeteners, many of which are on the World Health Organization's list of carcinogenic compounds, that yeah. is, they cause cancer,
yeah.
and there's emulsifiers, and all that sort of thing. And in fact, we're finding more and more problems with artificial sweeteners. The pancreas reacts as though they were sugar. Mm. So they don't help with weight, and they don't help with preventing diabetes. And the fourth, possibly most controversial golden rule that I would advocate is to eat only free range and organic. Now, this is just the way our ancestors ate. This is normal, ordinary food. And I would argue what isn't normal is animals that have been fed on synthetic hormones, given antibiotics routinely, or plants that have been grown with huge amounts of pesticides.
Yeah.
So free range means that the chickens are wandering around pecking. They're completely free. Obviously, they've got a shelter at night to protect them from foxes, but they are basically free. Cows can graze and so on. And that's going to be a happy animal. And a happy animal is a healthy animal.
Yes.
Because when you look at factory farming and the way chickens in particular, but also cows, are kept in these hideous, cramped, completely inhumane conditions, not only is it unethical and wrong, but it's also going to be very bad for our health because their immune system is going to be suffering terribly from the enormous stress they're under. That means they'll constantly get infections. That's why they're constantly dosed with antibiotics. It's a kind of vicious cascade, yeah. if you like. And it is possible to buy free-range organic meat. So it's fed on organic crops, and the animals have been allowed to live freely and happily. Now, people say, yeah, but that's more expensive.
Ah, but also, yes, that's a fair point, but to be really fair about it, it tastes so much better.
Yes, you can tell. And in fact, once you've started eating only free-range meat, you can tell when you're eating the flesh of some poor animal that's just been suffering.
Yeah.
But the other thing about it being more expensive is we need to all eat less meat. We know that for the sake of the planet. So, you know, the cost of eating hideous battery chicken five times a week is more than eating a healthy free-range chicken once a week or even once a fortnight.
Yeah.
So given that we all need to reduce our meat consumption, we can easily reduce it to the point where what little we do eat, we can afford to make it free-range and organic. And of course, the governments ought to be subsidising the organic farmers rather than the chemical farmers who are damaging the land and damaging our bodies in the process. I don't know if your listeners remember BSE, mad
cow disease.
Of course,
absolutely. In fact, people here can't give blood because of that.
Right.
If you were in the UK at a certain period of time, I think I'm right in saying that you still can't give blood here in other countries than Europe.
That's what I'm not sure about, but what I was going to say about it is organic cows did not get it. cows that had been raised organic and free range from birth, none of them got it, which makes complete sense because they hadn't been fed on the ground up remains of other cows. You know, that's what did it. So the issue about not injecting hormones into animals is the hormone we're talking about really is estrogen. And it's designed to make reproductive tissue proliferate. That means the breast, the womb lining, the ovary, and so on. Now, we've got a massive rise in breast cancer, particularly in Britain and in the whole of Europe. And one of the causes is artificial estrogens, not just women taking the pill, women taking HRT, yes, that, but also eating meat that's been injected with those animals, with those hormones, rather.
Yeah.
And the pesticides are also what we call estrogen mimics. Right? Mm-hmm. They actually act in the body on estrogen receptors and produce those same kind of effects. And then there's plasticizer chemicals, you know, like BPA and all the chemicals that plastics are made of in plastic bags, plastic water bottles. All of those are also what we call endocrine disruptors. They mess with our estrogen receptors as well. So, you know, all your women listeners particularly might be thinking, If you want to carry water with you, fine, but not in a plastic bottle, especially if you leave it in a car with the sun streaming in through the windows. As that plastic bottle gets warm, the plasticizer chemicals, which are estrogen mimics, are getting into the water. You can taste the difference, can't you?
Yeah.
Whereas if you keep your water in glass bottles with a little padded container around it, it's much, much safer.
Just to reiterate what I talked about there, I was correct. From January the 1st, 1980 through December the 31st, 1996, if you spent, visited or lived a cumulative time of 3 months or more in the United Kingdom, then you are not eligible to donate blood.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Amazing. And now, the elephant in the room when we talk about food is supplements, vitamin supplements. And
yeah.
I know loads of people who go, it doesn't matter, I can eat enough rubbish, as much rubbish as I like, because I take multivitamins. Look at me, aren't I splendid?
Yeah. Okay, well, I would take issue with that argument. Firstly, if you eat rubbish, you're eating rubbish.
Yeah.
And there's no supplement that can take the rubbish out. Secondly, if you're not careful when you buy your multivits, you're eating more rubbish in the multivits.
Yeah.
I mean, my key thing is to say to people, if you're going shopping, stick a magnifying glass in your handbag or in your pocket.
Mm.
Because a lot of multivits have got lots of rubbish in them and not much in the way of vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
And I think they're only a stopgap. And what I say in chapter 6 of the book, Nourish and Flourish, is, first of all, do we actually need supplements at all? And for the reasons I explained earlier about the depletion of the soil, the answer is, well, some of us do, some of the time. I mean, in the UK, most people need their vitamin D through the winter, certainly, and also vitamin C through the winter, because,
yeah,
you know, there's not enough seasonally grown vegetables and fruit to really give you enough vitamin C. And also because we increasingly live in the winter as though it were summer.
Mm.
We've got central heating, so our bodies think it's summer. And we're going to work just as many hours. We're going out and about in the evening when it's dark. All of this is going against nature. We're meant to hibernate when it's cold and dark. And we don't. And so in the winter, our immune system is really stressed and everybody goes down with colds and flu. And high doses of vitamin C at regular intervals, like 2 or 3 times a day through the winter, along with plenty of zinc and a little bit of selenium, can actually prevent this. So, yes, some people need supplements some of the time, but never as a supplement for eating rubbish.
Yeah.
Because if you're putting rubbish into your body, you're going to get rubbish outcomes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're in a very stressed and polluted world, and we actually need to eat really well, plenty of protein, plenty of vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and whole grain rather than white carbohydrate. So root vegetables and whole grains and that sort of thing, nuts, seeds, avocados. And some of us need supplements some of the time, probably less in Spain than in the UK.
Mm.
But still, I find an awful lot of people are low in zinc and magnesium.
Yes.
And in vitamins B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm.
And for women with menstrual problems of any kind, and indeed for women with menopausal issues, vitamin E, E for elephant, is a really important one as well. But the basics are zinc, magnesium, vitamins B, C, and D. Now, when I say vitamin B, I mean a B complex.
Yeah.
Because the B vitamins are actually a team. There's close to a dozen of them, and they all work together. They all support each other. So I would very, very rarely suggest a B vitamin individually. It would always need to be in the form of a B complex.
It's funny you say that. There's this real trendy, let's call it trendy, an inverted commas thing, which I've seen recently cropping up. It's the party season. Come and get vitamin B12 injections and feel like a teenager again. I've seen
it's
that a lot recently.
It's the what season?
Well, the party season. So this happened just before Christmas. All these adverts of people saying, come and have a vitamin B12 injection and you'll feel $1 million.
Well, to be honest, you know, if you're vegan, that's probably a jolly good idea.
Of course, I think for a very different reason, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important to understand the way in which our knowledge of vitamins and what they're for has changed since I was at medical school. That when I was a medical student a million years ago, we were taught that vitamins were substances needed in tiny quantities to prevent particular deficiency diseases.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have any B12, you'd have pernicious anemia. If you didn't have any vitamin D, you'd have rickets.
Yeah.
and so on and so forth. If you didn't have any vitamin C, you'd have scurvy.
Scurvy, of course.
But
yeah.
Those were the scenarios that you got if you didn't have any of that vitamin at all. And,
right.
And what was completely neglected and is now understood is that there is a wide spectrum from complete health to a fatal deficiency disease.
Yes.
There's all that in-between territory where, yeah, you've got enough of that vitamin to keep yourself alive, but you haven't got enough to feel healthy. So I don't see people with scurvy, but I see lots of people, particularly kids, who haven't got enough vitamin C on board to stop them going down with every passing bug and every flu and every cough and cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need the vitamin C for immune system function and for fighting bugs and so on. Even if we're not in the business of just preventing scurvy. We want to do better than that.
So all my years of my mother telling me to have those little pills called Haliborange, I remember them when I was growing up. You have those, you'll never get a cold. She was right.
Yeah, the Haliborange had some vitamin C in it, didn't it? The orange bit. But it also had cod liver oil.
Yes, it did, yeah.
And in fact, cod liver oil, the omega-3 essential fatty acids in there are useful, but in fact it has far too much vitamin A.
How funny.
And there's a bit of an overdose of vitamin A there, so that's a complicated one.
Yeah.
But again, with vitamin D, it isn't just about strengthening your bones, which is all I was taught about in medical school. It's also about the brain. You know, when I see people with dementia, I find the vitamin D levels in their boots. I mean, rock bottom. It should be 75 to 200 nanomoles per litre. So, you know, 60's a bit low, 50's low, 40's... I see it at 5 and 10.
Wow.
In elderly people who haven't been out of the house for 5 years. And, of course, you've got a vicious circle because the less they go out, the less sunshine exposure and so on. So the brain needs vitamin D. And the immune system, again, needs vitamin C. But back to the B complex. When people think they want a multivit, what they normally need in that situation is actually a B complex.
Yep.
Because it's the B vitamins, which are the only ones that are present in significant amounts in a multivit to make a difference. And the rest is largely either rubbish or it's in small quantities, so small they won't make any difference. So the pick-me-up is a B complex is what's needed.
Fantastic. Well, we're kind of out of time, unfortunately. It's been really interesting. There's much, much more in the book if people want to find out, which I'm sure they do. Staying Alive in Toxic Times. You can get that book from our own website. If you go to our tre.radio web address, you'll find that book on our bookstore to see people looking around for it. Dr. Jenny Goodman, great advice. Fantastic. Really, really lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Cheers.